Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, in a study entitled Preparing for Battle. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now think about departing from the living God. Think of the nation of Israel. God has just miraculously parted the Jordan. They all walked across on dry land. God's purposes are in front of them, the greater purposes. What would you think of some of those Israelites if they got back in the Jordan, swam across and said, we don't want to do what the Lord wants. We want to go back into the wilderness. Isn't that a foolish thing to do? Well, that's what backsliding is. You're going against the power of God and the victory that he brought you from the bondage of sin. And you want to go backwards. He says, don't let that happen to your heart, that evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. The book of Hebrews gets more serious and says, that's trampling underfoot the Son of God and counting the blood of the covenant something unworthy by which you were sanctified. You don't want that to take place in your life. And how many people do you know that started on the right track, but they went back into the wilderness? It happens. How do you avoid that? You avoid that by having a sensitive heart when the Lord speaks. Say, God, deal with my life. Change me. Transform me. Do it now. Don't pray, Lord, sanctify me, but do that later. I want to have my fun. No, God, rip these things out of my heart now. Cleanse and purify. Look what he goes on to say, verse 13. But exhort one another daily. And that's what I'm doing. I'm exhorting you. This message is a word of exhortation to have our hearts softened so we don't fall into these traps. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, that's what sin does. It hardens the heart. That hardened heart eventually manifests itself in unbelief and departs from the Lord. And sin is so deceptive. Sin's a quiet killer. And what sin says in our minds is, deal with this later. You know, or one last time, where the exact opposite is said in the Bible, that sin leads to bondage. Sin leads to slavery. Committing an act of sin does not, nor will it ever, lead to freedom. I'll get my fill of sin, then I'll stop it. You get your fill of sin, you'll be in bondage. You'll be a servant to that desire. And it wants to master and rule over your life. That's why today, if we'll hear the Lord's voice, when he says, deal with this issue, because right now, as we're going through Romans chapter 6, one of the things that stood out to me is that today is the day, today is the best time to deal with sin. Not next week, not down the road, but today is the day, because right now, my heart is the most sensitive. If God convicts, I submit, there's freedom. It's a deception to think that down the road, my heart's going to change, and I'm going to have a greater desire to walk away from this sin. That's a deceptive nature, sin telling you that it's easier down the road when you kind of get a little bit ready for it. And all the time, your heart's being hardened. And messages go out on that topic of that area you're dealing with, and your heart hardens and hardens and hardens. That's why if you're not a Christian here today, and as we give an altar call, we give a time for you to receive the Lord, listen today to the voice of God, because tomorrow your heart's going to be hard. Right now it's sensitive. You're in church. Maybe you've heard messages before, and each time you hear that message, it just forms a little bit of a callus over your heart. Oh, I've heard that before, and I'll get around to that, and I'll get serious later, and it's always later, later, later. See, when I didn't know the Lord, here's what I thought. I thought, here's what I'll do. I'll outsmart God here. I mean, what a foolish thought, right? Just thinking about it. Right when I'm ready to die, what I'll do is, that's when I'll call upon the Lord. I'll get saved right at my last breath so I can live my life here and also get heaven too. I'll get the best of both worlds. You get the worst of this world if you live that way. That's the truth of it. But you know what happens? My heart was getting harder and harder and harder as time went. And I heard evangelists speak. And I knew the truth, and I said no to God. I want to have my fun. Until eventually I was on a sick bed, and that's when God got my attention. I didn't think it would be in my teen years that I'd get sick, be ready to die. I thought it'd be later, but that's when God had to use that to soften my heart. Because I knowingly said no to the Lord. And that got easier and easier and easier to say no to the Lord. Same thing is true in the body of Christ. God starts saying, let's deal with this issue. It needs to be dealt with, whether it's in a marriage or it's a personal issue. And the best time to respond is right now, today. That's what God wants to work. We need to have that heart of sensitivity rather than letting sin come in and deceive us. Go with me over to Romans 11, then we'll jump back to Joshua 5. Romans chapter 11. I want you to see that sin usually leads to greater destruction. There's no neutrality with sin. It's deceptive. It may, our flesh or our mind may say, we'll deal with this later and it'll be okay. In all the meantime, the heart's getting a little bit more hard, calloused towards the things of God. Now in Romans chapter 11, in comparing to Joshua chapter 5, what we're focusing there was a generation that God said, you're not entering into my rest. In Romans chapter 11, God says he cut off the entire nation of Israel rather than just a few that have come to him. So there was a generation. Now it says Israel's in a state of unbelief. Israel's in a state of being cut off. So went from one generation now, because time went by and they got into idolatry and worse, the entire nation was cut off because of unbelief. Now, I do believe God has a future plan for Israel. But that's not for our study today. But right now, they're in a state of not in that place of blessing. They're not coming into the purposes that God designed for them as a nation. Someone has replaced them at this point into that place of blessing, and that's the church, the Gentiles. And Paul in Romans 11 is going to use the example of a tree, an olive tree. The olive tree represents Israel. And the fruit in that tree and the life in that tree is the blessing of God. And he says, Israel's not participating in that right now. They were broken off so that we as the Gentiles could be grafted in. Look at verse 17, Romans 11. And it says, as some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, and the fatness is the blessing. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Now, God's original plan and purpose that he had, again, which is conditional, was for Israel to be that blessing of the world. And we are actually being supported by the promises God gave to the nation of Israel. That's why Jesus was Jewish. He was a fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. It was a promise to them as a nation. They rejected him and they were cut off and we are grafted in. So we're receiving the life that was promised to another group, to a whole other nation, where that nation didn't know the Lord, and he's been merciful to us. And to this day, at least right now, in the way that God is working, it's the Gentiles that are coming into the promises that God gave to the nation of Israel. There are Jews that are saved. It can happen in any generation, but they're not at the central part of God's work. And basically, a Gentile is anyone that's not Jewish. How many Gentiles here? There are not too many Jewish people. They've been broken off. We've been grafted in. And listen to this. God said he predestined them. He sovereignly chose them. So not because anything was in you, but because of my choice to fulfill my purposes in you. And now God's going to say to the church, individual members of the church, I've acted that way in the past. Watch out lest I act that way again. And God's not making an idle threat here. And we shouldn't read the scripture and say, well, he's not really serious about that. God, think about it. God's not serious. That doesn't go together. If God says something, he means it. And look what he goes on to exhort us. You will say then, verse 19, branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand in faith. Do not be haughty or prideful, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. And he won't if we walk in unbelief, because God's consistent in the way that he works. And how does someone get to a point of unbelief? Sin hardens the heart. We need to have sensitive hearts. That's why worship needs to be something that's real and genuine, because God wants to speak to you in the midst of worship. God wants to deal with our hearts as we're worshiping him. Because how could you proclaim, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, and not also follow that up somewhere and say, God, make me holy as you are. And there's areas of my life that aren't holy. That keeps that heart sensitive. Then the word of God goes out and it's like seed that's finding good soil, and we don't fall into that trap of having sin deceive us and say, we'll get around to holiness later. But we're ready saying, God, speak to my heart. God, challenge me. God, stir up my heart. That's what we need. We're in desperate need of that, lest We find ourselves, like Israel, someone that God predestined and chose and picked out, that we also find ourselves cut off. I'm not looking just to not be cut off. I'm looking to come into the purposes that God has, for us as a congregation, as well as for my life, that God's called me to, unto. And help you come into the purposes that God has for your life as well.